The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
E di amarla e onorarla tutti i giorni della tua vita?
Sì.
Sì.
E di amarla e onorarla tutti i giorni della tua vita?
Sì.
Sì.
E di amarla e onorarla tutti i giorni della tua vita?
Sì.
Sì.
E di amarla e onorarla tutti i giorni della tua vita?
Sì.
Sì.
Just four of the couples saying their I do's at the Vatican recently. Their wedding performed by none other than Pope Francis. 20 of them, actually. The Pope married them. And the press is reporting that some of them had, or it's hard to tell from the tense of the verbs, cohabited, even had children beforehand. Does this signal that the Pope is ready to change Catholic teaching on cohabitation and premarital sex? These 20 weddings held recently by Pope Francis at the Vatican. Joining us to talk about media coverage of the papal weddings, Terry Mattingly, director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to talk to you again.
Did Pope Francis marry a bunch of couples that were cohabiting, that are living together before the wedding ceremony?
Well, this is a very interesting story. And I think it's important to not just think of it as some sort of picky story involving Catholic theology, because I don't know about you, but I hear pastors in all kinds of traditions wrestling with how to handle the issue of cohabitation, right?
Right.
And they all come up with different approaches. Well, in the Catholic Church, you're dealing with a church that has a very specific system for how it approaches sin and how it approaches rehabilitation. And all the way through this, we've seen quotes from the Pope in which he stresses that God is merciful and quick to forgive. Well, when you use words like merciful and forgive, that implies that something wrong has happened, which brings us to the whole issue of the ceremony. There were people in the ceremony who in their background had cohabitated. Except the press reports of this event, the verb tenses were all over the place. And this is a case where grammar quickly leads into differences of theology. Just let me give you an example. There was a report that ran in Australia that was built on Reuters and Agence France materials, where they said among the couples were several who were cohabitating and one couple who had children. Well, were cohabitating could mean they once cohabitated, but now they're not. Or it could mean they were cohabitating up to the moment of the ritual, which from a Catholic perspective is very problematic, since fornication, sex before marriage, is in the eyes of most observers of Catholicism a mortal sin, a sin that sends you straight to confession, and you're not supposed to receive communion or take part in the sacraments. And marriage, of course, in Catholicism is a sacrament. But then you look at the exact same event in a piece that ran in the Washington Post, and here's that wording. Some of whom had lived together and had children. Now, that's past perfect. Had lived together definitely implies that at one point in the past they did and then they weren't. simply stated, the U.S. Catholic Bishops Conference and throughout the Roman Catholic world, the norm right now, the recommendation, is that if people are cohabitating and they want a genuine Catholic wedding, if they want the sacramental ritual of marriage in a Catholic church, they should separate for a period of time as a part of their marriage preparation and stop having sex and before they get married. So this whole issue of verb tense becomes incredibly important. I looked and looked and looked and couldn't find press reports that made this issue clear. Nobody asked the follow-up questions, which suggested to me that reporters hadn't even entered into a search engine like Catholic Church, comma, cohabitation, comma, marriage. Because if you do, documents would have come up from the U.S. Catholic Bishops Conference and elsewhere that would have shown you, you know, what an important issue this is. And I have a lot of trouble believing that Pope Francis pretty much violated the laws of his church. Now, was he making a statement by marrying some people who had cohabitated in the past? Yes, I believe that was a statement that these people are not permanently tainted by their actions. But frankly, we don't know what happened. I can't find a press report that tells us because journalists didn't seem to understand the distinctions.
We'll take a break. Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of a papal wedding ceremony at the Vatican and what the Pope was trying to say by performing it. We'll come back to that right after this.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday afternoon, September the 19th. We're talking about how the media has been covering a wedding that the Pope performed recently at the Vatican for 20 couples. There's a problem with the verb tenses. It's difficult to know whether or not these couples were currently living together, cohabiting, that is, when the Pope married them, although that seems unlikely with the Pope. And if we can't get the facts straight, how can we possibly know what the Pope is trying to say by performing these 20 weddings? Terry Mattingly is our guest, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, so to kind of summarize here, it sounds like the press is making a very basic mistake of simply not providing the facts of what really happened so that we, the readers, can draw our own conclusions about what it means that the Pope actually performed these weddings.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear that this Pope is sending signals that he intends to look at some issues related to Catholic divorce and annulment and whether divorced people can receive communion. That's the sort of thing he may leave that up to their spiritual fathers, their confessors. But I guarantee you when he does it, he's going to mention confession. In most of the Pope's controversial statements, the press quotes the statement of, like, he's hinting that he's going to change this, but then they don't quote the statement where he says, we still need to understand that we're dealing with sin and that we need to see repentance. They're missing half the sacramental procedure, the equation that has to do with confession and then the sacraments. They don't get Catholicism enough to write down an accurate account of what the Pope is doing or suggesting in terms of these changes.
Is this part of a bigger problem? It may be glaringly obvious in this case where we're dealing with two of the Western Church's sacraments historically. We're dealing both with marriage and we're dealing with confession and penance in the case of the Roman Catholic Church. But maybe to fail to understand the sacramental character of the Roman Catholic Church in general?
Yes. And basically, people are taking sin out of the equation. And Francis is not. Francis is saying, our church, Pope Francis, is saying, we need to stress that God is merciful. We need to confess, we need to stress that when people confess their sins, God forgives them and life goes on. That's what this Pope keeps saying over and over. The Pope only hears him saying, we don't need to always do things exactly the way we did in the past. We need to make sure the public knows we're trying to be flexible. But then if you don't say what he's being flexible about, you haven't covered the story. You haven't gotten into the specifics. Since most people, I believe the normal Catholic wedding ceremony, if it's a full ceremony, also includes the couple receiving communion. So at that point, you're dealing with three sacraments that are all involved in this same story.
So you mentioned this in passing before, but I want you to go into a little more detail. Really, one need only open, and it's a rather thick volume, but it's not that difficult to navigate. One need only open the Catechism of the Catholic Church, that, you know, a document that was produced in the late 90s that lays all this stuff out in very clear detail, right?
Right. Well, it has a great search engine. All I did to find the reference that I led my post with at Get Religion was call up, you know, search engine, Catholic Catechism. It came up. There was another search field actually in the document, and I wrote the phrase cohabiting. And boom, up came, you know, paragraph 2391, section 4, offenses against the dignity of marriage, at which point it very, you know, expressly, you know, has the church's teachings on it. Now, meanwhile, like I said earlier, if all you did was say Catholic, comma, cohabiting, comma, you know, U.S. bishops, whatever, you could have found very easily that the U.S. Catholic Bishops Conference, as a part of its marriage preparation documents, they've been talking about how pastors should handle this for like one or two decades. The materials, there are like different versions of this thing because the issue has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger to where now some people estimate that 50 to 60% of the people who are married in the Catholic context have cohabitated at some point in the past. Well, something's telling me the Pope didn't just write this off.
Okay, how would we go about finding that out? I mean, I agree with you. My strong suspicion, if not, you know, near conviction at this point, would be to, as a casual observer, to say, you know, the Pope is not going to violate the teaching of the Church in order to make a point. He simply isn't going to do it. But how would we go about finding out the particular status?
At that point, they're going to need actual contacts in the Vatican. They're going to need to get their hands on the documents of describing this ritual and describing this event. I have been told by a Catholic priest that I consult with from time to time on issues of this type that the documents themselves are actually pretty vague when you try to take them out of Italian and into English. So it could be that there are reporters of goodwill out there who are trying to find out. Who are trying to find out exactly what the Pope did or said in this case. However, I'll just put it this way. If you can't find out, then you write this story, and it includes a sentence that says, it is not known whether any of the couples were cohabiting at the time of the ceremony. I did not find that sentence anywhere. What I'm saying is it doesn't appear the reporters even stopped to think that it was possible to ask people to stop cohabiting before a wedding ceremony, to go to confession and confess their sins before they take part in a sacrament. It's like reporters no longer even consider that an option within the Catholic faith.
Well, what kind of concerns me here is another facet that we've talked about before, and that is the template that the press insists on adopting for Francis. That is, he's rogue.
That's a great way to put it.
And so they're going to gravitate towards something that looks like, ah, there he goes, bending and breaking the rules again as the Pope. Take that, all you Roman Catholics, kind of a thing.
He's the good Pope. Benedict was the bad Pope. And basically what you do is quote only part of what Francis is saying and leave the other part out. And how many stories have we seen that on? The other thing about this issue that I think that's important to stress is how important the cohabitation issue is to the life of modern churches in the culture of the West and in the culture of North America in particular, because this problem is so massive it is so universal. I think it's a fascinating question that listeners should stop and think about. Do they know what their own church's policies are on this issue? When you read Baptist accounts on this, the Baptists are wrestling with this. I mean, if you're going to an independent, evangelical, Pentecostal megachurch, do you have any idea at all what your pastor is using as a policy on this issue? Most people that I talk to, it's never even, once again, it has never occurred to them that a pastor might have the courage to actually defend Christian teaching on this issue. They just assume you give in, you hold the wedding, and that's that.
Do we have enough information to even speculate at this point what Pope Francis intended by marrying 20 couples there in the Vatican? And it's a very public event. They had, I mean, it was well covered.
Yeah.
It was, there's audio, there's video. I'm sure the whole place, the whole thing is up on online someplace. Do we have enough information to even speculate as to his intentions in participating in this?
We know that Pope Francis is trying hard to discuss a lot of issues related to marriage and the family, because this is all leading up to a massive event in Philadelphia called the World Meeting of Families. It's going to be a year from now in 2015 in Philadelphia. And I mentioned earlier that some of the topics that are on the table is what to do with Catholics who are divorced. At what point can they begin to receive communion again? Does the modern church need to somehow straighten out the annulment process a little bit? Has it become too legalistic and too eccentric? Does the language need to change so that people really understand, you know, what the church teaches about divorce? These issues are all on the table, and I think we can expect a series of symbolic events where Francis does what Francis does, which is say, in the end, we need to handle this as a pastoral issue, not a political issue. We need to help our priests deal with people living in the real world, in real life, but end up in a position where people are forgiven by God for the sins they have confessed. But did you hear both halves of that equation again? It's there. It's in his large written statements, but it's not in the headlines.
What strikes me there, Terry, is that that is an enormous story about, and this is the angle that I would like to see that addressed on then. The Pope is consciously heading into this next year with the emphasis on the Catholic family, trying to start a conversation and trying to start people thinking about the Church's sacramental system and how we continue in it and make it available to people so that they are enjoying the benefits of marriage and in good standing with the Church. I guess I'd put it that way.
Right.
But
right.
Also, this is the intriguing angle for me, Terry, that is, he is talking about heterosexual marriage while the culture is obsessing about same-sex marriage. He's addressing the whole marriage question, the big question.
The bigger questions, and also, quite frankly, I think the world of Protestantism and evangelicalism needs to pay attention to this. Because over the last decade or so, some of the evangelical institutions that I have covered, it's like all they want to talk about, too, is homosexuality in the last decade to decade and a half. It's almost like that's all the church talks about, when meanwhile this cohabitation issue has taken root in their own congregations, with the children of their own deacons, with single couples that are in their church. And it's like they don't want to look at what is statistically the much more common problem in their own communities. It's like only homosexuals consent. Well, what about the heterosexuals? What about our own children? What about our own parishes? What about the people that are around us in those pews? Are we actually talking about forgiveness and healing for a lot of other kinds of problems affecting? Frankly, cohabitation affects way more people, you know, in most modern churches than, as important as issues of homosexuality are, premarital sex and cohabitation. dwarfs that issue in terms of the actual pastoral concerns of most churches in our culture. Yet, how much do you see the church talking about these issues? Once again, what the Pope is saying is that it doesn't matter if your laws are on the books, and it doesn't matter what the laws say if you haven't found a way to live that out in pastoral life. That is what this Pope is saying over and over. If it doesn't get to repentance and mercy, what's the point of all of our laws? How do we, as pastors, as shepherds, how do we get our flock to that point?
Finally then, Terry, you say that the vague language that we've discussed here in the coverage of the Pope performing these 20 weddings at the Vatican, the vague language seems intentional. What do you mean?
I think that they were perfectly willing to leave this vague instead of immediately trying to clarify what the Pope was or wasn't doing here. Whether these people were cohabitating at the time of the wedding, I don't think they dug into this story, and they covered it with vague language. What's fascinating, and the reason you can see it, is that so many news organizations chose different vague language. That Washington Post report is different in its verb tense from that Reuters Agent LaFrance Press story. They can't both be right. At some point, we needed clarifying questions.
Terry Mattingly is director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities, author of the Weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here.
When we come back on this Friday afternoon, we're going to do our weekly series with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, Christ in the Old Testament, just two verses, Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. We'll be right back.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your will. Hear us who might deceive us.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
By grace I'm saved.
Grace, God's favor because of what Christ has done for you. This is precisely the gift that you will receive at Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church in Strasburg, Illinois. God's grace delivered by the means appointed by our Lord Himself, His word proclaimed and His sacraments rightly administered. Come and receive. Grace, it's not just what we believe, it's who we are. Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church in Strasburg, Illinois.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.